is May 6, 2011. When you upload and record it, you put the date on it too, no?
Yeah. Okay.
May 6, 2011. Last time we talked about Ishwar Pranidhan. And we talked about Ishwara, we talked about Pranidhana, we talked about Ishwar Pranidhana, we talked about Kundalini, entitative and incantative rhythm of mantra, and we talked about Diksha, Mantra Ghat, and Dipani Shakti. These are the main elements we talked about. Today we'll be talking about Mantra Chaitanya. However, I'm going to go back and do an entire review of last week also, because Mantra Chaitanya by itself, if the previous talk is not fresh, might not make sense. And also this subject is very important for us on a practical basis. It is something that affects our daily practice, and it is one of the most important aspects of our spiritual sadhana. So I will review it entirely today. And we will probably continue talking about it for next few weeks. So subject topic, it is Ishwar Pranidhan. In normal sense, what we mean by Ishwar Pranidhan is our, generally what we call our practice of meditation. The proper term for it in Tantra Sadhana and in spiritual discipline, the proper term is Ishwar Pranidhan. What is Ishwar Pranidhan? Well, what is Ishwar and what is Pranidhan? Ishwar, the word Ishwar has several meanings in Sanskrit, but the one that pertains to what we want to talk about is Ishwara means controller. Ishate ityarthe, ishate yaha saha Ishwara. Isha means controller. Dhatu, ish dhatu means to control. Ishate yaha saha Ishwara. You've seen the word paresha, para plus each, paresha, para plus isha, paresha, controller of the world beyond, paresha. Rajesha, controller of the king, raja plus isha, isha means controller. So, Ishwara. So, we said, ishati yaha saha Ishwara, one who controls is Ishwara. This is one meaning of the word Ishwara. And Ishwar Pranidhan, Pranidhana. What is Pranidhana? What is a Nidhana? And Pranidhana. Pra prefix to the word Nidhana becomes Pranidhana. In Sanskrit, we say Prakrashta Rupena Nidhana Ityarthe Pranidhana. Prakrashta Rupena Nidhana. Nidhana. Nidhana means abode, a place of shelter. And pranidhana, pra means prakrishta, a special, something very of a higher standard. So you use prefix pra to emphasize, to identify something of very high standard among other things, something of higher level, higher standard. For example, Deepa. Deepa means light, lamp. Pradipa means bright light, something special. Moda means enjoy. Pramoda means even more intense enjoyment. Prakriti, kriti, krit means to do. Prakriti means a special creator, right? So, pra prefix is a very common prefix in Sanskrit. And here pranidhana, a special abode. Ishwar pranidhana, abode of what? Abode of all propensities, all mental preoccupation of everyone. So Ishvara means Parampurush is a abode, is a shelter of all propensities, of all beings, of all preoccupations of all beings. So Ishvara Pranidhana means to take all our propensities, to take all our mental preoccupations, to withdraw it from the worldly existence and to channel it into Ishvara, that is Ishvara Pranidhana, to the supreme abode, the supreme stance, supreme receiver. This is Ishvara Pranidhana. Ishvara Pranidhana is a process in which we withdraw our propensities, mental pabulums, pabula, from all worldly existences. We retrieve it. Our mind is preoccupied, it is attached to so many things, liking, disliking, you know, all sorts of things we like and all sorts of things that we dislike. We love, we hate, we like somebody, we don't like somebody. Both sides of our likings and dislikes, they are both inappropriate. We should have a balanced mind. So both types of propensities, like likes and dislikes, withdrawing from the place of attachment that they are currently attached to, withdrawing them first and then offering them, then merging them, then to channelizing into Ishvara, is called Ishvara Pranidhan. Another meaning of the word Ishvara is Saha Ishvara Anirvachaniya Parama Prema Swarupa. This is another definition of Ishvara. Ishvara Saha Ishvara Anirvachaniya Parama Prema Swarupa. Anirvachaniya means something that you cannot verbalize, something you cannot not only verbalize, but something you cannot express by sense, by motor organs. You are unable to express it. And so unable to express and describe what? Parama Prema Swarupa. Parama means the highest. Prema means love. Swarupa. Swarupa means original form. Swarupa means Swa plus Rupa. Rupa means form. Swarupa means its original form. It's called Swarupa. Prema Swarupa means original, purest, most fundamental form. That is Swarupa. Prema, love, form of love. The most original, purest love. He is the such Prema Swarupa. That is why he is called Ishvara. Another definition of the word Ishvara or another description is called Klesha Karma Vipakashaya Paramasaha Purusha Vishesha Ishvara. That means one who is beyond four things. Klesha Karma Vipaka Ashaya. Klesha means afflictions. Karma means action. Vipaka means reaction. And Ashaya means pabulas, mental preoccupations. One who is beyond all these things is called Ishvara. Another meaning of the word Ishvara means one who possesses Aishwarya. What is Aishwarya? Aishwarya means occult powers. One who possesses all occult power, all occult powers, is called Ishvara. There are eight types of occult power. They are called anima, लघिमा महिमा ईशित्व वशित्व प्राप्ति प्रकाम्य एंड अंतर्यामित्व. दीज आर एट डिफरेंट फॉर्म्स ऑफ अकल्ट पावर. वन हु इज अ मास्टर ऑफ ऑल दिस अकल्ट पावर इज कॉल्ड ईश्वर. बिकॉज अकल्ट पावर, द वर्ड फॉर अकल्ट पावर इन संस्कृत इज ऐश्वर्य. वन हु पजेसेस ऐश्वर्य इज ईश्वर. अनिमा महिमा लकिमा अनिमा. अनिमा मीन्स वन हैज एबिलिटी टू बिकम वेरी स्मॉल, लाइक एन स्मॉल मॉलेक्यूल. अनिमा लघिमा मीन्स समथिंग वन हैज ए पावर टू बी वेरी लाइट, एक्सट्रीमली लाइट. महिमा, वन हैज अ पावर टू बी ह्यूज, जाइगेंटिक. लाइक दिस ऑल दीज आर अकल्ट पावर्स. प्रकाम्य, प्रकाम्य मीन्स वॉट एवर वन डिजायर्स, सच थिंग हैपन्स इन द आउटर वर्ल्ड. प्रकाम्य. ईशित्व मीन्स बींग एबल टू कंट्रोल. वशित्व ऑल्सो. सो अंतर्यामित्व, अंतर्यामित्व मीन्स एबिलिटी टू नो वॉट इज इन अदर पीपल्स माइंड. वन हु इज एबल टू कैच वाइब्रेशन ऑफ एनीथिंग एंड अंडरस्टैंड. हाउ डज पर्सन हु हैज अंतर्यामित्व पावर, he is able to know what is in your mind. You may think that this person is quietly sitting. No, he's not quietly sitting. Person is chattering away, 90 miles an hour, chattering away. We don't hear it. But what happens when the person is chattering away 90 miles an hour is emitting vibration. Mind is disturbed. It's not saying anything by the language, but vibrations are coming out like this. And Antaryamitva is able to catch those vibrations and hear everything that is going on in the mind. This is Antaryamitva. So these are all occult powers, and the possessor of all this occult power is called Ishvara. Now, Ishvara Pranidhana is the subject, and we say that in Ishvara Pranidhan, what we are trying to do is to withdraw our propensities and merge them into Ishvara. That is what we are trying to do. This is what the goal is. Our propensity, our preoccupation, our I-ness, this is the key point here. What is I? As you recall, we spent quite a bit of time talking about mind, body, and consciousness. And this I-ness, identity of self, that is the focal point of discussion now that I'm going to talk about. Because with this identity lies our preoccupation, all our likings, dislikings, everything that is who we are is connected with this identity, I-ness. What is this I-ness? We must understand. This I-ness is concentrated, located at the base of your spine. It's called Kula. The last piece of bone in your spinal cord, in your spine, is called Kula. And there lies your crudest form of your I-ness. It's called Jiva Bhava. Jiva means individual self. Bhava means feeling. Individual I-ness is called Jiva Bhava. Jiva Bhava in its crudest form is located in the Kula. Kula means the lowest part of your spine. And this Jiva Bhava is called Kundalini. And that is why it is called Kula Kundalini. Kula is the last bone, and Kundalini is essentially energy that is wrapped around that last bone. And that energy, what is that energy? That energy is I-ness. Jiva Bhava, your individual Jiva Bhava, is this Kundalini wrapped around the Kula. So, this Kundalini is we call it dormant. Your jiva bhava, your I-ness, is dormant. That dormant with respect to what? It is unaware of the fact that it is divine, that its real form is pure divine form, pure consciousness. It doesn't know that. It is unaware of that. That is why it is also called sleeping divinity. These are the terms you might read in Baba's discourses, sleeping divinity or kundalini or kula kundalini. Or you may hear this word in Tantra and other textbooks of Tantra. So it's called sleeping divinity. Sleeping in the sense that it is unaware of its true identity, spiritual true identity. So kundalini, kula kundalini, is located at the kula, as I was saying. And it is a representation of all your bondages, all your attachments, all your mental preoccupation, all concentrated at one point, is your I-ness, your crudest I-ness, located there as a kundalini. The purpose and purpose of Ishwar Pranidhan and purpose of spiritual journey is to awaken this dormant energy, dormant jiva bhava within you, to awaken it and to successfully guide it through the chakras unto all the way into Sahasrara chakra. Kundalini lies in the Muladhara chakra, and consciousness or supreme consciousness lies into Sahasrara chakra. So it is said, Muladhare Basate Shakti Sahasrare Sadashiva. Muladhare Basate Shakti Sahasrare Sadashiva. Muladhar. Mula plus Adhar. Mul means fundamental root. Adhar means support. It's called Muladhar because entire support is on that chakra. That is why it's called Muladhara chakra. Mula plus Adhar. And Shakti, Kundalini Shakti, lies at the Muladhara chakra. And Sahasrare Sadashiva, in the Sahasrara chakra, is the supreme consciousness. Your job, your goal, and purpose of your meditation is to awaken this Shakti, this energy, and to guide it successfully, step by step, through the passing through this energy channel that we're going to talk about later on, and unifying it, uniting it to the Supreme Consciousness located at Sahasrara Chakra. This is the goal of Ishwar Pranidhan or Dhyan or meditation. Now, I-ness, Jiva Bhava, Kundalini, back to that. Each person has his own I-ness, own Jiva Bhava. Each person has its own identity with it. So, what happens? That you see, we develop what is I-ness, what are our attachments? You see, how do we develop attachments? How do we develop liking? Attachment in both ways, attachment and detachment. They are both types of attachment, right? Attachment is when there is attraction, detachment is when there is a disdain. So I'll use the word attachment for both. How does it develop? Because ultimately these attachments, these likings and mental preoccupation become who we are in our identity, our jiva bhava. So what are they? How do they come about? And how do they form? Attachments are not something you're always born with. Yes, you're born with certain attachments and stuff, but you develop attachment. You come to know people, you come to see things. And during your life, you develop this I-ness. You develop your I-ness, feeling of I, as you progress. And as I said last time, that what are the contributory factor to these attachments, this I-ness? These are primarily physical and psychic proximity. Where there is a physical proximity, or where there's a psychic proximity, then we begin to develop the attachment for that. Proximity, not only in the distance, but in time, place, and person. We develop this proximity. You know, if you meet somebody from a town in Gujarat, somebody says something about Gujarat, immediately my eyes light up. From Gujarat, oh, I am from that part. You know, California, oh, I am from California too. You are traveling, maybe you are in Italy, maybe you are in Greece, maybe you are in China, maybe you are in India, and you meet a person from California and say, oh, hello, where are you from? From California. Oh, me too, I am from California. Where in California? This is our natural response. We get attracted to something. We get attracted by this proximity. Same way in our family, we develop, because of the closeness of family, we develop attachment with the family members. And also, sometimes we lose attachment when some of the family members move away or live away from you, distance away. So place also has effect. Time, we are in the same time, you know. Oh, I am from the class of 1976. Oh, we belong to the same time, you know. This kind of attachment we begin to develop. And we try to acquire, we end up acquiring rather, attachment to one another, and in process begin to develop our jiva bhava accordingly. You see? So our jiva bhava, our I-ness gets developed because of this proximity. And same thing with the psychic proximity too. You may have never seen Baba. And Baba left his body in 1990, long time ago. But what has happened? You have become more and more closer to Baba than ever before. Why? Because although there is no physical proximity, there is a psychic proximity. Through meditation, through your studies, you develop psychic proximity. So proximity in time, place, and person results into this development of our I-ness, our personality. And the jiva bhava, the kundalini that we have, is a representation of our crudest I-ness, crudest I-feeling, containing all the preoccupation, material endeavor, attachment, all our mental waves, everything that is there is concentrated there. And for example, everything has vibration. So your entire body has vibration. Your hands have vibration, your ears have vibration, your eyes, nose, all parts of your body have particular vibration. Each finger has a vibration, and each finger has different vibration. Everything is vibration. And these are called the entitative rhythms of that object, of that body. There are three types of we say there are three types of differences. One is called vijatiya. In Sanskrit, it's called vijatiya bheda. Bheda means difference. Difference between animal and a plant and animal and a man is called vijatiya. Vi means separate, jata means vijatiya bheda, means big difference. Then swajatiya, between a man and a man, difference between a man and a man, there is some difference, but not as much. It's called swajatiya bheda. And third one is called swagat bheda, swagata. Your body, different parts of your body are, although vibrating differently, giving out different vibration, but they are very close. It's called swagat bheda. And so sum total of all your vibration of your body, everything that is being vibrated, giving out this vibration, it's average. If you take, for example, all vibration and take its sum total, all of that is being constantly vibrated from Kundalini. Kundalini is giving out this vibration. So from your Muladhara Chakra, entitative rhythm of your self is being emitted by the Kundalini. Now, in Ishwara Pranidhana, what we want to do is we want to awaken this Kundalini and we want to guide it, because Supreme Consciousness is in the Sahasrara Chakra, Shakti or the energy is in Muladhara Chakra. In order to awaken the Kundalini, we have to understand the type of vibration that are being expressed by a particular person, particular Kundalini of a person. And this is the science of, this is the process of finding the Ishta Mantra. Each Kundalini, as I said, has its own vibration. Depending on the nature of this I-ness that we just talked about, nature of this jiva-bhava, right? So, in order to awaken that Kundalini, the Ishta Mantra must have a proper adjustment, so to say, proper relationship with this vibration of the Kundalini. Vibration of the Kundalini, they are called entitative rhythm. Meaning that the energy that you will have to impose upon this Kundalini must have certain vibration which should be conducive to this Kundalini's vibration in order to wake him up. You have to awaken the sleeping divinity with that vibration which is in line with the vibration of the Kundalini itself. Therefore, each person has a different Ishta Mantra. Same Ishta Mantra does not work for all person, because Kundalini is expressing entitative rhythm differently. As I mentioned last time, that your name has the biggest I-ness associated with you is your name, the sound of your name, the word, Manatosha. Immediately you look up. If I said that Ma, immediately he will look up. I haven't even said Manatosha. But I might say Ma, immediately he will look up. But I may say Manish. But you see, our mind immediately gets attracted to this sound of Ma. My name is Manatosha, immediately. Ma, the sound Ma comes and you become attentive. Because Manatosha's mind is connected with that sound Ma. Not even the whole Manatosha, of course the whole word Manatosha, but it doesn't even wait till whole word. The moment Ma is pronounced, immediately the attention goes there. And our greatest attachment is to our name and the sound of that name, Understandably so, isn't it? Because ever since you were growing up, you were a child, people told you, you are a Manatosh. Begin to believe eventually. And we say, I am Manatosha. And what happens? The sound gets programmed into our subconscious. And we begin to identify with that sound, begin to identify with that mind, with that name. That is why spiritual names that are given to people uses the same first letter that is there, that has been used in your actual given name. Your name was Mark, M. Because of the fact that all your life, people call you Mark, means you had established some oneness with the letter Ma, Mark. Therefore, when you were given a spiritual name, the first letter was maintained. Because your kundalini has already been adjusted, so to say, already has accepted this sound ma as the prime letter, prime sound, you see. So the point of what all I'm saying is that we are talking about I-ness, we are talking about our personality, and one of the biggest things that affects our I-ness, our identity, our jiva bhava, is this sound coming out, this sound related to our name. So therefore, the Ishta Mantra that are given are also in line with that sound of your name. And accordingly, Ishta Mantra is given. So that Ishta Mantra becomes effective. Ishta Mantra or your mantra has its own rhythm. And these are called incantative rhythm. So incantative rhythm of your Ishta Mantra must be such that they are able to awaken the kundalini, able to affect the entitative rhythm of kundalini. Incantative rhythm of the mantra must be such as to be able to awaken the incantative rhythm of kundalini. Now, when someone begins their spiritual journey, then they need this mantra in order to awaken the kundalini, as we said. So, beginning of this process, beginning of the spiritual journey, is established by what we call diksha. Diksha is the formal beginning of the spiritual journey, you may say. So, diksha is a process in Tantra, which we call normally in English, we call it initiation. But initiation just means beginning. But diksha actually is quite a bit more than that. But generally what we call spiritual initiation is what we mean by diksha. There is a Sanskrit shloka here. It says, Deepa Jnanam Yato Dadya Kurya Tapa Kshayam Tatha Tasma Diksheti Sa Prokta Sarva Tantrasya Sammata. That means this process of diksha is a process that, as a result of that process, what happens? Kundalini, which is a sleeping divinity, gets awakened. Kundalini gets awakened, and It receives the energy to move up through the energy.